I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, the podcast which aims to take you behind the scenes of the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, as well as the automotive and social media worlds. I am your host, Sam, from that YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, and alongside me once again, Mr. Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
Hey everybody.
Full disclosure, we are recording this episode straight after the previous episode. So if you missed that, go back and watch it. Go back and check it out. And for those of you watching us on YouTube, you will notice we're wearing the same outfits.
No.
Oh no, you took your jumper off. Oh, well done. Oh, that's what I was supposed to take my hoodie off.
You wish you could be me.
So we could have pretended like this was a completely different setting.
Although we told him in the last video that we were doing this anyway.
Yes, we're not very good at this, are we? No. But we have we took a small break to replenish ourselves, to get some food. It is quite hard to do two podcasts straight back to back. We needed to just reset our brains.
We did, yeah.
But of course, we are doing this in an aim to combat the coronavirus. This is our way in defending ourselves from potential lockdowns or quarantines. But we are now so far in the past when it comes to recording this. We have no idea what the future world that you are listening to us in is like. I mean, who knows? There could be monkeys crawling all over everyone. You know, elephants might have taken over the world. We just don't know, Tony.
Is this going out this year or when's it going out?
No, it's going out like 2 weeks' time.
Oh, okay. I mean, I don't think we're at monkey stages yet.
Hey, at this point, the world is going crazy enough. We just don't know what is ahead of us. But yes, if you are watching us here on YouTube, hello, welcome. Make sure to subscribe, turn on notifications so you don't miss future episodes, including the bonus midweek episodes that I've been producing alongside these regular full-length chats. Tony, have you been listening to the bonus content?
Yes, of
Good
course.
Man. Thank you very much. I know you enjoy my stories from the road, especially the earthquake ones. I'm glad you've been enjoying my little updates. And of course, if you are listening to us, make sure to keep following us on whatever audio platform you are listening to, on that Spotify, Apple Podcasts, many other audio-only platforms. We like to come at you in many different ways. Do you think, Tony, we should set up a Behind the Glass Instagram? Or do you think there are too many Instagram accounts out there?
Well, there's quite a lot, aren't there? I mean, well, I don't know, because it is separate, isn't it now?
Because I would like to interact with Behind the Glass listeners more directly. And yeah. I think they would like to interact with you.
Yeah.
And I guess it's a point of differentiation from you, from potential customers or clients on your Instagram, and then listeners of this podcast.
Yeah, we can, yeah.
So maybe we should.
What do you think?
Let us know. Comment below, tweet us. Do you want a Behind the Glass Instagram where Tony and I can kind of interact with you, I guess, yeah, answer some questions. I don't know what the post would look like, but we'll figure that out.
Just be pictures of an ear.
Pictures of us in the studio. as I say, I'm all up for getting you guys more involved with what we're doing. And I did tease it in last week's episode, but I'm currently working on a plan to try and get you guys to actually be able to dial in, a bit like a radio show. Don't forget our big YouTube target, which is, Tony,
50,000.
50,000 subscribers. I feel like with quarantine,
we're getting there.
We could reach it quicker than maybe before.
Yeah.
We want to hit that 50K subscriber title just because, you know, we've given ourselves that target, but also to give one of you the opportunity to come and sit here with us in the BTG studio to participate in one of these episodes. And if you are not able to come and join us because of Corona. Yeah, there we go. Mentioned it again. We'll dial you in. So you'll be here. What's that called? Technologically, spiritually.
Spiritually.
Audibly.
No.
Okay, so
just too technical. Away.
Yeah, too technical. So yes, lots to still look forward to over the coming weeks. Hopefully, future episodes will be a little bit more up to date and relevant, and we'll be able to talk about things that have been going on. But this week's episode has been an episode we've been teasing for a long time, not just since the start of season three, but I feel like even in season one, we were talking about the fact that we probably needed to do a Ferrari special.
Yeah, like 2 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't know, Tony and I are big Ferrari fanboys.
Yeah.
I mean, nerds is applicable.
Again, you're more nerdy about them than me, I think.
I'm more nerdy about heritage.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
You're more nerdy about current values.
Modern cars.
Modern cars. And our lovely shelving system, which we haven't talked about for a few weeks, that flanks us, that is behind us here in the studio, is adorned with a lot of different Ferrari memorabilia. I've got a 250.
Adorned? I mean, there's two girls.
I'm waxing lyrical today. That Wagamama's we had for dinner earlier, just like suddenly I feel like I can just flow.
Oh, wait, there's no Ferrari on there at all.
Hold on a sec, Tony. There's a 250 GTO. There's my 360 Modena. There's actually two 360s, both of which were gifted to me during Drive the World. We've got a Schumacher hat, left, right, and centre. Plenty of Ferrari bits going on, so...
Okay.
Sit down, although you already are.
I already am.
But yes, so we've been teasing it for a while, and today we are going to get into Ferrari in general, because there is a question to be answered, which I think we've asked ourselves. Is Ferrari still the brand that we love or have loved? Don't answer it yet, because that's what we're going to be getting into. But yeah, those of you that kind of hate Ferrari, you might want to skip this one. But hopefully we're going to have some interesting anecdotes, thoughts and discussions around Ferrari's past, present and future, and whether we can still love a brand which is changing so much. So sit down, grab yourself a coffee or a tea or a water or whatever you like to do in isolation or however you're listening to us, and we're going to get into it. It is finally the Behind the Glass Ferrari special.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So, I feel like we should go back to the beginning. I think that's the logical place to start.
The beginning of when we met or beginning of Ferrari?
Well, maybe those two are intrinsically linked. But no, I want to go back to your Ferrari story. Why are you a Ferrari fan?
Well, I always liked them when I was a kid.
Okay.
Obviously.
Just because they were red and low and loud.
Yeah, just because I think you go through phases, don't you, when you're a child, sometimes you like Lamborghini, sometimes you like Ferrari, sometimes you like Porsche. And I went through all them phases, but Ferrari, definitely the longest. Definitely as I got teens and over, and then I just stuck with Ferrari. Obviously, I do love Porsche as well, but Ferrari's the pinnacle, that, you know.
And it's not just because it is Ferrari, i.e. not because it's Rolex, because it's Rolex, or Cartier, because it's Cartier. Because I think a lot of people sometimes assume you like Ferrari just because, duh, like it's Ferrari. But this came out of a passion for cars for you, right?
Correct.
And what else at a young age? Because you weren't buying them, and you probably weren't driving them. So can you point out, why was it that you were sort of drawn to the prancing horse?
It was a dream to own one.
Okay.
That's what it was. So when I would see them and I'd go, oh, hopefully one day I can own one of them. Do you know what I mean? And, yeah. And I actually never, ever thought I would be able to. Like, obviously you always aspire to owning these nice things, and you see them on the street and you think, mate, one day. And luckily enough for me, a bit of hard work and some persistence.
There we go.
As you say. Done it. I'm having a beer.
That was a tricky one.
Unbelievable.
Well done, sir.
If I hadn't had a beer, I'd have got that all wrong. I managed to be able to buy one, and I've had quite a few now.
Oh, no need to show off. There's that beer talking again.
It's the ego.
What cars were you seeing on the road growing up? What were the Ferraris that you were kind of going, oh, I want one of them? Because they can't have been very good ones, knowing your age.
I don't really want to admit this. So, your car.
Oh, the 360.
Yeah. The 355, obviously.
Sure.
But I never really knew what it was. I never knew it was a 355. Sure. I just knew it was
I'm so with you there.
Yeah.
It was a Ferrari.
Yeah,
you didn't really care at that
I didn't
point.
Really care.
But not 348. You're not that old.
No, I'm not that old. But even if I did, mate, I wouldn't have known what it was.
Sure, it was just a Ferrari.
It was just a Ferrari.
Because sometimes I go back now to popular culture references where I think I knew the car that was being used. And I'm like, oh yeah, it was great. And actually watching it back, I realised it was a completely different car or model. I just assumed it was, oh yeah, it was definitely a 360 in that Bond film, wasn't it? No, it was a 355.
Yeah.
But it's just a red Ferrari in my brain, so I just...
Yeah, but when my first real recollection was the 430.
Oh, okay.
So, but seeing it on Top Gear.
Uh-huh.
When it came out on Top Gear, and I thought, oh my God,
I like that.
I couldn't afford it. It was
ludicrous.
How long ago was that? When did that come out? 2005?
You're no better than me.
It's five. Yeah. Five. So 15 years ago.
No, because Challenger Dali was 4 or 5. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah,
2005.
Yeah.
So 15 years ago.
Do you remember the first Ferrari you drove?
It was it was your car, 360.
No way.
Not your actual car. But
I was going to say, when?
I that was the first car I owned as well.
The first Ferrari you owned?
First Ferrari.
I was going to say, that was the first car you owned. You were doing much better than you've led on.
It was a light blue
Ooh.
360 convertible.
What they call, is it California blue? They call it that real pale.
It wasn't very nice.
No. Okay, but at the time, did you think it wasn't very nice?
No.
Okay, the time you were like.
Was it the jackpot?
Dog's bollocks.
Like, yeah. And it wasn't a lot of money, mate, either. It was like 40 grand or something.
Oh, okay, so you drove them when they were right at the like pig's bottom.
When there wasn't very good.
Okay.
So, but I didn't have that for very long because I couldn't, I bought it for myself.
So you hadn't driven a Ferrari ever, but you knew you wanted one.
Mm.
And you saw a 40K light blue 360 and went, that's for me.
Correct.
Okay. Brave.
Very brave.
Yeah.
I didn't have it for very long because really I was punching above my weight a little bit.
Sure.
And I was a motor dealer then and I sold it off in the trade.
Okay.
My first real purchase was for my 29th or 30th birthday.
Please say 30th. It's got more of a twang, doesn't it? What,
because it means you've had one before me.
No. I should have thought of that. That would have been a great thing to proclaim. But no, I just like, it's cool saying like, I was trying to think of a title for my video.
Okay, fine.
We both bought Ferraris before we were 30.
I was about that time.
Okay. I use it for a title anyway.
And I bought, not with company money, with my own money.
Sure.
A 430 Spider.
Oh,
a black
here
one.
Here he is.
And
he
I thought
around.
I'd absolutely hit the jackpot. It was like a dream come true.
Yeah.
And then from then.
Just like, that was it?
Yeah, like, I'm not going to buy any of it else. So I love Lovecraft.
The best thing in the world. Yeah, how long did you have the 430 for?
18 months.
Okay, proper car.
Yeah. 15 months, actually. 15 about months. 15 months, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Well, I think that's probably brought us up to speed, I guess, on your story. My Ferrari story, a little bit different, but it's been quite well documented on the channel, so we won't dwell on it for as long. But my love actually came from motorsport. So obviously Schumacher and the Ferrari areas, I think, you know, that was kind of my obsession. And then that led into the road cars. A bit like you, I would have seen Ferraris around. I know my godmother's husband, so let's call him my godfather, had, you know what, the worst thing is he can't remember what he had. But it was like a 330 or something like that, you know, like an old 60s Ferrari. And when I was younger, I remember going in it and just being like, oh, this is cool. But I was never that obsessed until the whole Schumacher era. And then from that probably came my obsession with the 360, Chan Stradale. And I think then a few bits of Top Gear content. I remember a real standout feature for me was the 612 Scaglietti with the race to the snow resort. Mm-hmm. That was a real standout piece. 599 GTO and sort of forward. I think there's not many Ferraris pre that 360, 612 kind of era that I was that obsessed with, apart from the 60s stuff, which probably goes back into my godmother and her husband. So there's a big period, which I guess you would call the dodgy Ferrari period anyway, which is kind of from, I guess, like mid or late 70s. No, mid 80s to mid 90s. 85 to 95 that I kind of was a bit blurry about.
I would say Ferraris were dodgy till about 2010. Till the 458 come out.
Okay, well, we'll get into that in a second. Yeah. But yeah, I think even things like F40, something like that, were F50, a bit over my head, if I'm honest. Mm. I was all about the F60, the Enzo.
Yeah.
And then that sort of passion or that, maybe that interest became an obsession, really, once I got into the whole scene through glass thing. Because before that, it was just like cars and like, yes, I love Ferrari, but from a motorsport standpoint and from a heritage standpoint.
Yeah, yeah.
And I, like you, kind of always went, that's what I want to own. Like one day, I dream of owning a Ferrari. There wasn't really any other brand that I was kind of that obsessed with. I liked Aston Martin. I didn't really get Porsche. I didn't get Lambo. So yeah, Ferrari was kind of my jam. And then doing what I do now, I started to get exposed to cars. Actually, I have to interrupt that because the first Ferrari I ever drove was pre-STG. I was about, there's two weird segues. Basically, the first Ferrari model I ever drove was a 458. So the first time was just before, about 2 or 3 years before Seen Through Glass began. I was forced to take holiday from work. I was a bit of a workaholic when I was in my PR job. Got forced to take some holiday and I booked a trip for one to Modena, what a loser, to go and do one of those driving experiences. You pay 400 quid and you can go drive 458 around the hills. So I was like, brilliant, done, that's what I'm doing. So I flew out there and I drove a 458 Spider on their like 3-hour loop. The first Ferrari I've ever driven, oh mate, blew my mind.
And
I think I'd booked like a 430, but when I got there, they said, well, you can upgrade to the 458 Spider for like 20 euros. I was like, oh, yes,
amazing. Yeah.
And blew my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, oh, wow.
What year was that?
It had just come out, mate, because they were making a big deal about the fact it was new. So 2012 for the Spider?
Yep.
Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah, that would actually definitely make sense because it was around the Olympic torch relay, which was a particularly strenuous piece of work I had to do. story for another podcast.
Yeah.
So that was my first taster. Then I got into the whole Seen Through Glass thing, and the next Ferrari I believe I drove was, again, a 458, one of my first like viral videos in inverted commas, which was, I can't believe this is my life, in a picture of a Ferrari and I got to drive it down at Phillip Island Cars.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of the real start of the love story. And whilst I'm talking to you, I'm trying to bring up a list here because now, not only on Drive the World, but in general, I have driven a ludicrous amount of Ferraris. And I'm just going to read out to you the Ferraris that I drove during Drive the World. So this is excluding previous other examples. 348 Spider, 360 Manual, 360 Chan Stradale Manual, 360 Chan Stradale, 360 Project Car, 430 Scuderia, 456, 458 Speciale, 488 Pista, 488 Pista Spider, 575M, 599, Enzo, F12 TDF, FF, LaFerrari, Portofino.
And your favourite was?
Oh my God. I honestly don't know where to begin.
You weren't expecting that,
no,
were you?
No, I wasn't expecting that. Because, you know, and I say that doesn't include things like F40, 599 GTO, 16M, lots of other cars. So somehow, you know, 3 or 4 years later, I've gone from someone who likes Ferraris and kind of wants one to owning one and having driven so many.
Basically like, everything. Yeah, yeah,
tick
yeah.
the box, yeah, dream yeah. life. And I would say up until 12 or 18 months ago, almost every car that I drove, buying one and being around them fulfilled my dream. And I get the sense that you were the same with that 430 up. That you, it was everything we wanted. They were amazing. Mm. We were obsessed. This is the dream.
Awful
the
car, life. By the way, now. Yeah. But yeah.
Back when then, you look back.
Yeah, yeah,
but,
yeah.
But yeah, my 360 is good today.
No.
Yes, it is. Tony.
That's the one. It's not going down the road in your face.
Are I you mean, mad? Oh, no. Have you actually driven it? Have you driven my car?
Not your car, no. And I would rather not. Thank
right.
you.
Right. That is a video coming soon. I actually hate you. It's better than your GT3 RS. Oh, yeah, it's great run track. It's the bumpiest, most uncomfortable thing on the road. Getting in and out of those seats are horrible.
Yeah, the seats aren't great.
It's awful. And yeah, seating anyway.
But I'd rather be driving around.
Yeah, 360 manual.
No.
it's probably going to go up in value more than that. Anyway. don't want to wind you up totally though. But yes, so we both got to this point in our lives separately. Which is like, we've fulfilled our Ferrari dream. We've bought these cars that we love. We love the brand. How then do we now get to a point where both of us, when we talk about Ferrari and the modern cars and the direction they're going in, do we both grimace slightly?
Well, you become a little bit blasé when you become exposed to these cars, especially what we both do. We're both in the motor industry in different parts of it, but we both are exposed to these cars. You become a bit blasé. And it's like being in a sweet shop, and you like sweets, but you wouldn't want them every day. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I think Ferrari, the most important thing about Ferrari is that they have to be special, right?
Yeah.
They have to have that sense of occasion, that excitement, that when you get in them, you go, oh my God, a Ferrari. And if you're surrounded by them all day, every day, and driving them out like I do, I don't know what, I did reel that off. It did sound a bit showy-offy, but it was just trying to explain that, you know, I've loved almost every moment. But with the modern cars, I feel like they're dialing out some of that specialness.
Absolutely.
And because of the amount of cars that we're around and the amount of new Ferraris that we get to be around, it's just lost something. The actual product, the brand is still special to me.
Mm-hmm.
The heritage, the brand value, the badge. But the actual product is ever so slightly tainted in my mind.
Mm, I agree.
And there are many other cars that I would buy before, and many other Ferraris, sorry, I'd say before a 488, before a Lusso, before an 812. And for me, it's about going back in time. And I know I'm a bit of a sucker for that because I like my modern classics. But why for you, like what's not working for you with the really modern stuff?
Well, I mean, I'm a big advocate of modern cars. Like I like modern cars. I don't like older cars.
Which is why I'm asking.
Yeah. Ferrari have become a little bit more unspecial to me since the 488.
Okay.
So although I love the 488.
You've had about four of them, haven't you?
I've had about four of them, yeah. I love the 488. I think it's a great car. But the last special Ferrari was the Speciale. And obviously, as most of you know, I was lucky enough to own one. I've sold it now, but it was my dream car and we both wanked over that car, essentially.
Yeah.
Love that car.
True.
So, but that's the last real special one, I think. And I think the tides turned a bit when they went PLC and they're now on their own. So now it's different now. It's all about churning numbers and they become a little bit, not quite the same, but they become a little bit like Mercedes and McLaren and keep pumping models out all the time. And, you know, that's why it's not special anymore.
And I think this is an industry thing as well. Like cars in general are becoming more bland.
Yeah.
Because of regulations, because of the way that we use them, so many different reasons. They're just not as raw, as analog, as exciting. And that's just time. And we have to kind of accept that at some point. Maybe we're just getting old and we're just old grumpy men going, oh, it's not as good as they used to be. And that's why I wanted to hear from you, because I feel like with me, a lot of it comes down to the romanticism of the cars that I was growing up with. So, you know, I can sit here and I can go, oh, yeah, 599 GTO and Challenge Stradale and all, like, amazing. But at the same time, I agree. I love the Speciale. I'm going to say the TDF for me is a truly special Ferrari.
But it's that era though, isn't it? It's that cutoff period.
It's when they took the step forward into 488, Lusso, 812, Portofino.
Yeah.
It's all just taken a step into a little bit too accessible.
Yeah.
You know, these cars should be made for anyone who walks into the Ferrari dealership, not the driver enthusiast.
And you know, if you've never owned a Ferrari before and they're the first cars you get in, you would be blown away. You'd go, oh my God, this is unbelievable, because they are so much, they're more usable now in every situation. They're faster, they're more economical. It just, everything is bang on with them now. But if you've followed the Ferrari path for a long period of time and owned some of the shit ones,
you kind of
still want them to be a little bit crap, because that's what keeps the like the personality in it a bit. When they're too good, it's all
There's no character, there's no emotion. It's all gone. Yeah. And that's totally it. And, you know, we had this conversation end of last year after I spent a week in a Pista and then a couple of days in a Speciale. So within 7 day period, I'd driven a Pista and a Speciale quite a lot.
Mm.
And actually, I came away from it saying the car I'd have is the Pista.
I know.
It is just
a
better car.
Which surprised me.
And it surprised myself. I was like, oh, yeah. Before that week, I'd always said I would always pick the Speciale over it. But I went into it, you got to remember, spending my time with the Pista and then borrowing a Speciale for the day rather than the other way around.
Yeah.
And when I got into that Speciale, I just went, oh, I kind of missed the Pista. Mm. Because let's forget speed for a second. I think both of them are too quick for the majority of public roads. But the Speciale suddenly felt a little bit cramped and maybe a little bit, the noise wasn't as much as I hoped it would be. I thought I'd be getting in there going, oh, the engine, the exhaust. But actually, it didn't sound that different from the Pista, just a little bit more shout.
A bit more screamy,
but nothing majorly. And then it just didn't feel as composed on the road. So the Pista is a better car. Like, it is a better car, but there's something about what the Speciale represents and the emotional connection, which still stands out as a drive, as a car thing to go out and drive. Absolute Speciale, but as a car to own and live with, Pista every day.
For sure. So when I drove them, I drove them both the other way around. It was in last year, we was in Europe somewhere, I don't know where we were.
Somewhere generic.
Yeah, I don't actually know exactly where. I think it was Croatia.
Sure.
So my friend at the time had a Pista, had the Speciale. So I was in the Speciale, come out the Speciale into the Pista. I didn't drive it as long, I drove it for about an hour. And I come out of the Pista and couldn't get my head around how fast it was. But it was all I was talking about.
Yeah.
It's so fast.
So fast. So,
so fast.
Fast.
That never, ever come out of my mouth with the Speciale. Because the Speciale, okay, is fast. But for a supercar, it's not really that fast anymore.
Well, things have moved forward. At the time, it was massively fast. But things have progressed so quickly and that car is relatively dated now.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel that.
And that's the thing as well. I think Ferrari, again, because of McLaren, have had to really move things on in terms of pace and speed because of what McLaren done with the 675, and then they bring the 720 out, and obviously with the 458 to the normal 488. Like we've said more than once, as a car, the normal 488 is better than the Speciale. As a car, you know, it's bonkers, much faster, more usable. Not as cramped, you're right. It's a lot easier to drive, but it just didn't feel as special. So I think Ferrari have had to change their way in how they build cars, partly because of the competitors.
Yeah, you're right. They've got to stay in the mix and they can't be looking to sort of be behind, slower or not as practical, not as usable, because they'll just lose customers to McLaren, to Porsche.
Yeah, and what makes you laugh with Ferrari? I mean, they'd say, oh, we don't care with Ferrari. They do care.
They 100% care.
They
right?
care.
That's why they still give you special versions when you go for test days.
Exactly. And they say, we don't care about Nürburgring. Well, that's because you're not as fast.
You're not as fast, so you don't want anyone to find out.
You don't want anyone to find out.
No, we don't care about it. We do Fiorano.
You would do Fiorano.
What does a 720 S do about Fiorano? I don't know. Can we find out? No, not allowed. They're hilarious. But because I did a piece with Salamandrin last year, because I felt like he got into Ferrari almost what I would say the wrong way around. He'd been slagging them off for years and years and years.
He did, didn't he? Never used to like them.
Oh my God, never used to like them. And then got invited on an FXX, you know, Pista Pilotti kind of day. So he went in right at the top end, got passenger rides in FXX Evo and all these kind of larks, hanging around with the top end customers, talking about their forthcoming LaFerrari Pertas and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So he suddenly goes, God, this brand's amazing because of the connection, the family, all this stuff like that. Yeah. And I said, well, hold on a sec, because to really understand Ferrari and to really appreciate Ferrari, you've got to not only have driven a 348, but kind of love a 348. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Because otherwise, you're just buying the badge. Like, you're not buying the car. Like, because for me, that's it. Ferrari is so much more than its products. Because despite this current lull, despite the fact that I don't lust after their current models, it doesn't make me dislike Ferrari anymore. As a brand, as a company, I still adore them. There are still a million Ferraris that I would have. And if I was a very rich guy, I'd probably still be out there with an 812 and a 488 Pista and God knows what. It's just that I personally lust after the older stuff. So I think, you know, it's the whole brand that maybe other companies haven't been able to maintain. It's that La Familia kind of attitude that some people knock and say it's like an old boys club. But do you feel like I do that when you're in with Ferrari, it's kind of an amazing feeling? Like, you know, you cherish the reward.
The brand is still very special. They look after you like no other as well. They're very good at customer service and rightly so, because their products are a fortune, but their hospitality is very good if you get to go on some of their trips and stuff. And yeah, they're very good at it, but they should be, because it's what they do. You know, they haven't got to deal with, like Mercedes have to, millions of customers, you know.
A-class customers.
For sure, A-class customers.
Because even if you're a Portofino customer, you're still spending 180 grand or something like that.
Of course, so, yeah. So the level of service is obviously very good, but you'd expect it to be.
But the question is, are there now too many Ferraris?
Yes.
Okay. Well answered.
100%.
Because the minute you can kind of have a Ferrari for any situation, and let's not forget the per long sang bong dong 4x4 is coming. Per sang, isn't it called, or something stupid?
Who makes that? Sanyong.
What happened to Sanyong?
They're still around,
aren't they? They're still around.
Yeah, teamed up with Ferrari.
Go on, Sanyong. But yeah, basically, I'm trying to think if I can run them down. I feel like I'm going to forget all the variants now, but we've got the Roma, which is a hard top rebodied Portofino.
Correct.
The Portofino.
Yeah.
Those are what they're going to call the entry level Ferraris.
Correct.
For the ladies of the household, apparently. That's not me being sexist. Genuinely, Ferrari puts that in their press releases.
I mean, most wives would be happy with Range Rovers. Probably. Now they're talking about buying Romas and...
Do you think the Roma is a male Portofino, or do you think they're both targeted at a sort of different, maybe more female customer?
Yeah,
I
don't think they're a man's Ferrari.
I think they should both be Maseratis.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But that's what they used to do as well, remember? Like, they would team up with Maserati and that would be your entryism. And mate, when your car come out, even the 430, I think.
The Grand Sport?
You would have to buy a Maserati before you got one.
No.
Yes, mate.
Really?
Yes. Okay, so if you buy this that's been in our showroom for 6 years, we'll consider you for the lovely 360.
That's such a great impression.
Yeah.
No way, because obviously I think it's sort of well known now that, yes, if you want a Pista, you are buying a Lusso, or if
that's
you want...
That's not all Ferrari dealers, by the way.
No.
That is some.
Of course. Absolutely. Of course. You know, and this happens across the board, and we can't, you know, blame. Some people are great, some people aren't.
Paul should do it.
Exactly. So we're not pointing fingers, but we're
Lamborghini
talking...
tried to do it.
And I was like, no, we'll skip the hurricane. That's all right. But I lost my train of thought now. But okay, sorry. So you have to buy Maserati. That's amazing.
Yeah.
But yes, the Roma... I kind of get, there's a part of me that looks at, sometimes I look at it and I go, great. Sometimes I think it looks a bit like the new F-Type. And sometimes I think it looks like a shoe. But I get why they did it, because I think a lot of people were calling out saying we want a hard top. We want a Dino, don't we? Instead, they got the Roma.
Yeah.
But yes, I definitely think the Portofino should have been a Maserati, and I feel like at some point it probably was. Mm. But those two, let's put to the side for a second. They are your sub 200K, theoretically, entry level.
Your entry level cars.
And already you got too many, coupe and a convertible. Yep. Then we step up to the 48. No, sorry, the F8. God, I forgot about that crappy car. I say crappy car. It actually starts to look quite good. I've seen them on the road. I just feel like it came out to such a sort of...
Mate, it's a 488 rebody.
Yeah, there was no hype around it. People were like, what is this? And it is a rebodied 488. No real excitement, no big steps forward. Even the body design language isn't really that revolutionary. And it feels like there's just been a little bit... It's
a stopgap car. This is not going to be here for that long.
It's a 650S for a... Yeah, it's a stopgap car, exactly. Yeah. So the F8 Tributo and the F8 Spider, are they calling it?
Launched them both at the same time. When have they ever done that before?
I mean, like, and this is the thing. It's all getting a bit lost on me now. Yeah. And I'm forgetting... How can I forget what the Ferrari models are? But it's all just getting a bit blurry and a bit lost. I know, good, thank you. Then we have the GTC Lusso V8. GTC4 Lusso T, which has the V8 engine from the F8.
Correct. No.
Rear-wheel drive. No.
From the Portofino.
From the Portofino. God, thank you so much. So glad you're
here. We only had one.
So is that all the V8s? Have we done all the V8s?
That's the V8s, yes. Yes.
So then we move into the V12s, where we've got GTC4 Lusso.
Yep.
812 Superfast.
Yes.
812 GTS, which I've got such a problem with. And I think we have touched on it, but we can come back to in a second.
We're going to.
Because the SF90 is a V8, right?
Oh, yeah, but it's a hybrid.
It's a hybrid V8.
So we're going to put that in a hybrid.
Okay, V12.
Because that's nearly a hypercar, that car.
It is. It's quicker than a LaFerrari.
Yeah.
But 812 Superfast, 812 GTS. Any other Lusso? No other V12s, right? There's the three V12s.
No, there's the V12s, yeah.
And then the SF90.
The SF90.
Hybrid.
And then the special car.
The Monza. And something else?
SP1, SP2.
SP1, SP2.
They're V12s.
They're V12s.
I mean, there's too many.
I mean,
there's never been so many.
It is horrific because, okay, I get why Ferrari are making them. The demand is probably there.
And the SUV that's coming.
The Pursang.
Yeah.
The Sangyong. But for me, all of these issues are rooted in the 812 GTS. Now, I know why I get frustrated by this car, but I could see you chomping at the bit, almost biting your microphone. So go on. Why have you got an issue with this car?
First of all, GTS, for a start. Secondly...
Well, no, you're going to have to expand. What do you mean?
Well, because I think they're going to make loads of them. It's not special. It's not special enough, like all Ferraris now. Like,
so your problem being that the GTS badge is too special? Or
yeah,
like
it should be. Yeah, the GTS is special down the line, isn't it?
The convertible V12?
Yes.
Agreed. Okay, cool.
So, like the 599...
SA Aperta.
I mean, they made about four of them.
Literally.
I mean, there'll be four in a week of the other car.
Yeah.
You know, it's just another... Oh, dear, we've made too many 812s. I know, everyone's cancelling them left, right, and centre. Let's cut the roof off and make 700 or 800. I mean, I'm sorry, McLaren, but it is McLaren all over again.
It's exactly the same. I'm going to jump in here because this was my point as well. The convertible V12 front-engined Ferrari, the sort of, their headline car, that has always been a super special variant.
And so rare.
So rare. Like, even if you go back to the day, 250 Cal Spider, like, through to, yes, 599 SA Aperta. I mean, the F12, they made those weird things, the TRS and whatever like that, but otherwise they didn't do one.
Yeah.
And so you have to look back at that history and go 575 Super America, 550 Barchetta. Always been a standout car, the ultimate version, the GT V12, and look, now it's a roofless.
Even the 458 Aperta, mate, and now the 488 Pista Spider.
Well, that's bad enough. But yeah. For me, this sums up everything Ferrari are doing wrong right now, in the sense they've taken what should be always a hero car, a car to be for the few, to be... For us to drool over and say one day we dream of owning a convertible V12, or being asked to buy, because we can't choose to buy it, we have to be asked to buy a convertible V12 Ferrari. But now you can walk into Ferrari wherever, I don't know where, you can turn that radiator off, by the way, if you're burning up. Are you burning up?
No.
No, okay, fine. Sorry.
Adjusting my glasses.
Sorry, you adjusted his glasses. I was suddenly worried that I was cooking you with them. But yes, you know, that you could probably walk into your local Ferrari dealership and order one. It kills me. It's like, Ferrari, you've given away your little, your sweet little thing at the top of the Christmas tree, and you're just giving it away to everyone.
And not only are they giving it away to everyone, they're making you buy a normal car to buy one.
Well, there you go.
It's not that special.
It's not that special.
No.
I mean, like, just everything about it frustrates me. And then there's talk of the 812 GTO or whatever the super fast version of the 812 is going to be. But again, like, okay, and then is there going to be a convertible version of that? And then is there going to be a track focus version? Like, as you say, it's a bit McLaren.
Yeah.
In the sense where so many variants and so many models that they all tend to blur into one.
Yeah.
And that is what annoys me about the product. Not about the brand, because I still love it. Just that product thing where I'm like, come on, guys. Now, what was your second point? Do you remember? Because I interrupted you mid-flow.
No.
Okay, great.
You always do that to me.
I'm so sorry, but I just had to get in there because that was like right at the sweet spot.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say the same thing in about 10 minutes time. So, okay. So, well, let's go back for a second and revisit, I guess, previous and prior models in terms of right now, if someone was looking to buy their first Ferrari, they weren't as lucky as I to have already done that. What is your, where would your buy-in point be? Because I think we'll probably agree a little bit on this, but I have a few different options given on what people want. But what would you say would be a great Ferrari to go and buy today?
458.
Yeah, I knew you'd say that. It is. I mean, probably the best.
The best.
Sub 150K easily. Maybe sub 130K if you're lucky.
Still relevant, modern.
Super quick.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it is.
Compared to a 430
or... If it's your first Ferrari, it's
for sure,
quick.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's going to feel like a step backwards if you're going out of a 570S.
Yeah,
but, it's enough of the old Ferrari to get a lot of the character, but enough of the new that you're not going to have to start doing engine out, cam belt services.
It was such a huge leap from the 430 to the 458.
It redefined what supercars are.
Yeah.
You know, and I saw one up at Alexander's Prestige the other day, and I saw that one at Carl Hartley that I sent you the message about. There are some amazingly spec'd cars which still look so modern, so on point.
Yeah.
Amazing money. That Carl Hartley one, it was a black Spider with nearly 30,000 miles, which you do still have to say is big miles in Ferrari land.
But people drive them more now, mate.
People drive them more, especially now that they're trading that kind of money and it's been a few years. 130 grand he put it up at. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. If I was in that world, I'd be like, I need you.
Yeah.
So I think both of us lean towards the mid-engined Ferraris.
100%, yeah. And I've never owned a V12.
Well, there we go. There is a big point of difference, I think. And I actually spoke to Ferrari about this a while ago. They see different customers. Of course, lots do overlap and they have big collectors who have everything. But in general, V12 customers are V12 customers and the mid-engine guys are mid-engine guys, V8s usually. Yeah. So why haven't you ever got a V12?
I just, when it comes to fast cars, I just like mid-engine or rear-engine cars, full stop.
And have you driven as many of the front-engine Ferraris? Have you driven 599s and 812s and
F12s? Driven F12. Yeah. Never not driven 812. Have I driven 812 yet? Don't think I've driven 812 yet.
Okay.
Driven F12. Have I driven a 599? I think I've driven a 599 as well. Not a GTO, but I've driven a 599. I'm just trying to think. Lusso.
Okay.
Driven both Lustos, the T and the V12. Again, they're just like, they just work, mate. They're just good cars. And if you take the badge off, like...
Could be a Panamera.
Could be, yeah. Like, honestly, like...
But the thing is, like, I think the point of difference for me with Ferraris is that all Ferraris have the same thing, which is they're beautifully, insanely light and direct steering. Like, that's the thing, right? Like, about Ferraris, like, light and direct always. Steering. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And when you're in a mid-engine supercar, totally makes sense. It's like a little darty arrow,
yeah.
just chop and change, and it's just, it's an amazing feeling. When you get into the bigger V12 stuff, you're sitting quite far back behind this big engine in a car that feels wide and big. You're sitting higher up. The steering feel is the same, which is inherently a little bit unnerving because the car feels a little bit twitchy just because in your head it seems like it's bigger and heavier, even though, you know, of course, there's amazing trickery going on. So I feel like it takes me a while to build up to the confidence to thrash the big GT stuff because you're heading towards a corner going, I'm going way too fast, I'm going to understeer, and then the car just goes round. I mean, like yeah. goes round the corner, sorry, not goes round in a circle.
Depending on what, if you drive, that's the four-wheel steering ones normally. I mean, if you tried to do that in an F12, you probably would go straight.
You probably would. Yeah. It's definitely with a 599. But I just think in general, like, I don't find them as easy to push. They're great cars to cruising because they are GT cars. Whilst I just feel them a little bit, I don't enjoy driving the GT stuff fast, which is why I've always leaned towards the mid-engine. But there are some great deals out there. 599s, for example, are dirt cheap, just very expensive to run. Mm. And if you go a little bit further back in time, I think 348s are still a steal. I mean, that's a really analog sensation, like, and a bit of a doggy Ferrari.
Yeah,
that's going to cost you a lot if it goes wrong.
What was before that? 5-1?
No, four. So hold on a sec, because
5-1-2,
308 and 328 and those ones. 5-1-2 was the TR, but that's a V12.
Ah,
because they didn't make a front engine variant.
Oh, they didn't make the front end. That's right.
Weird. They went TR because they were competing with the. So I've probably got that horribly wrong, and someone's
you're right, I'm out there because and then they changed their stance a bit and started to compete more with Aston Martin, didn't they?
Yeah,
with the DBS and
308, I think, was the second mid-engine V8 Ferrari. So what came before that? Two.
Yeah, this is your fault.
Yeah,
I do not know this bit.
No, but I do get a bit lost. I mean, there's a lot of three this, two that.
Yeah.
F1, blah blah blah. But yeah, I think if you're looking at the moment, if you are in supercar territory. Definitely consider your 458. I think there's not much point in stretching for a 488. I think a 458 is going to be a good starter, a Ferrari experience. But I'm also going to do a big plug, and Tony, please back off, for the 360, because it's a sweet spot in Ferrari's history. It's still an amazing car to drive. It's analog. The F1 boxes are pretty bad, but if you get a later car and get a little bit of work done to it, there's still something about those cars. Probably a 430 F1, arguably a lot better. I'd still try and stick to a manual 360 if I were you. But it's accessible speed, accessible performance, one of the best sounding engines and exhausts you can get out there, and full Ferrari. And I know you'll slag it off, and I know you want to slag it off, but you're wrong. I will just say, they are great, great cars. And to not appreciate them is naive of you.
And I mean, it's not really accessible speed, is it? I mean, it's just about as fast as an RS3.
Which is accessible speeds on the road. RS3 is already too quick.
Yeah, I would say an RS3 is probably faster on the road. Actually, to be
probably,
honest.
Probably, but you know, it's not all about that, Tony. And the fact that you can get into a 360 for around 50, 60 grand still, if not a little bit less if you're lucky, it's amazing. Like it is still a full-blooded Ferrari. I don't care what you say. You are
no, it is
a
Ferrari,
man.
Yeah.
It's a good car. And I think those would be my two points to go. If you're looking at the circa 60 grand, 360, you don't need to stretch to a 430, in my opinion, unless you're looking at the F1 boxes, or 458. Those would be my go-tos for now.
But the manual 360 is fairly rare, mate.
Not as rare as you'd think.
Really?
Not as rare as you'd think. They do come and go.
Yeah, but
manual 430 is hard.
Yeah, manual 4.5 is really hard.
But the thing which is, nice one is a good point. The minute you're looking pre 4.5.8, so 4.30, 360 backwards, it is so important to have Ferrari service history, a service every single year, yeah, whether the car's moved or not, even if it's got 0 miles, it needs to be looked after.
Yeah.
And the most important thing is these cars have to be driven.
Yeah.
Ferraris respond to being driven. They genuinely have personalities and characters.
Yeah.
And if you leave them alone, they break.
Yeah.
That is a matter of fact.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we've given a little bit of advice of what we think someone could or should go and buy if they want to get into this mad, mad world.
Just don't listen to Sam and listen to me.
I hate you so much. Tracy, 3RS, best car in the world.
Well, it is.
So not.
We're not talking about Porsche. We're doing that next week.
We're not doing a Porsche special. Oh, I'll just leave you to it for 45 minutes. So our sort of departing question, I suppose, our departing point is, are we concerned? Are we worried? Have Ferrari gone too far? Do we envisage a time when we're not going to buy modern Ferraris? Or is this a bit of a blip? And would you still go out there today and buy a brand new Ferrari from dealer?
So I think that we are, again, blasé about it. I think that because of what we've been used to and they've changed how they do things, because they've had to as well, because of the competitor and what you can buy now, they've moved the game on. Cars have to be more refined now because they appeal to a bigger amount of people, which means they sell more cars and so forth, make more money, which is what it's all about if you're a business. Correct. Now, do I think they're less special? Yes. But I think they're less special because we've been exposed to them. And I've had a few, and you've been exposed to more than me in terms of. So if we feel like that, that's the reason why, because we've been spoiled.
So you put our lack of desire for a new Ferrari down to the fact that we've just been around them too long.
Yeah, because I mean, there will still be some special cars where you'll think and you'll go, God, yeah, I'm going to try and get that one. I'll have that one. That'll be nice. But gone are the days where every Ferrari was the special one. It's not that now because it's made for the mass, mate, unfortunately.
I think that was literally the point that I was going to try and make, but I think you summed up better, which was there are still Ferraris that I want. Pista for sure, one. I would have an 812, I think, and an SF90 I'm really intrigued by. I also want to have a go in a Roma. I still haven't seen one in the flesh yet.
I don't.
I know you don't. And I think I'll be disappointed, but I want to have a go.
Yeah.
But you're right in the sense where every single Ferrari should be a Ferrari that we lust after, or I want every Ferrari to be a Ferrari that I lust after. And I think 5 years ago, they were. Mm-hmm. You know, I would want every car in the lineup. Whilst now, it's a little bit, you just have to pick and choose your battles.
Yeah. Because they're trying to make a car for everyone now. And don't forget, some people that never bought Ferraris before, they will still be special, mate. Because,
agreed,
you know, compared to any other manufacturer, they are still a special car, and they won't know any different. It's just us older people,
us losers.
Well, older customers.
Those of us that love 360s and realize that was the best Mark Ferrari ever made. I do still really want a 458 though.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think, you know, all in all, to answer the question of, you know, do we still love Ferrari? Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Do we still want to buy Ferraris? Yes.
But not everyone.
Not everyone. And that's about it, I guess.
Yeah, is that it?
I suppose so. I feel like we kind of rounded off and covered off most topics. I'm sure there'll be questions. People might have had specific things they wanted us to address.
There's one thing you didn't answer.
Oh, go on.
What asked did you at them list of cars, what would you have? You skipped that.
I did skip that.
I mean, they really would like to know.
This is drive the world specific. But I think Challenge for Dali aside, because that's the obvious go-to, isn't it? If I won the Euro Millions, I think I'd get an Enzo.
Really?
Yeah, because of what it meant to me. It's arguably a bit of an awful car. It's cumbersome. It's crap turning circle. It's crappy gearbox. But it's so special to me. That was LaFerrari of my generation. It means, like, that was everything. I was like, that was my real wow, wow, wow car. But when it came out, and still today, it's so far from realistic in my mind. Who knows where the world's going to go? I think that Enzo, just to have the rest of them, there are plenty, if I'm honest. 575, that was a surprise. That really, like, I didn't expect that to be as raw as it, like, that spins it, its rear wheels.
Really?
Yeah, I thought that was going to be a real soft car because I've driven a 550 and that was a bit laid back. 575, bit of a monster. All the 360s, obviously great. Scud, yeah, I mean, I got a lot of Scud. 599 was the most disappointing, I'll be honest. I was a little bit let down by the 599. And out of that list right there, yeah, that's kind of how
the I Enzo.
Yeah, Enzo, yeah. I think so. If you could go tomorrow with Euro Millions money, which Ferrari would you buy?
It would be an Enzo or Laf.
Good man.
Be one of the two.
Okay, well, yep. On that bombshell and Jeremy Clarkson's favourite word, make sure you stay subscribed, turn on notifications for future episodes. If you're listening, if you are listening to us, there we go, make sure to keep following us on whatever audio platform you're listening to us on. And yes, we will be back next week with another episode of Behind the Glass. Bye-bye.
See ya.